Let's now go, turning our attention to Genesis. I'm going to read from chapter 33. It's only 20 verses. I'll read the entire chapter. My focus will be on a portion of verse 5. Now, this being the Word of God, let us hear it and hear it well. It is God's pleasure to minister unto His people through the hearing of His Word, read in the worship service and preached upon as well. So let's begin hearing from God, His Word, chapter 33 of Genesis. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them, bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaidens came near, and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What means thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if thou have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face, and though I had seen the face of God, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou was pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said to him, "My Lord, no, you know that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with younger with me, and if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goes before me and the children be able to endure until I come to my Lord unto Seir." And Esau said, "Let me now leave thee with the sum of the folk that are with me." And he said, "Why do I need it? Let me find grace in thy sight, O my Lord." So Esau returned that day on the way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for the cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, where he came from Padanaram and pitched his tent before the city. And he brought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it Elohi, El-Elohi, meaning God, the God of Israel. May God bless the reading of his sacred word to us. Again, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless us as a people, your chosen people precious in thy sight, through your word heard. And be with us, Lord, and all the more, of course, because without you, there is no real significance to your word. But with you, there is a tremendous blessing. Bless our hearts, O Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. And so, we want to, as I said, focus our attention this morning on verse 5, where Jacob lift up his eyes, he lifted up his eyes, he saw the women, this was Esau, and said, "Who are they?" And then Jacob responded, saying, "These are the children which God has graciously given thy servant." And I want to focus on that portion of the verse in this context, and in the context of the whole of Scripture, because it really does help our focus in terms of what the sacrament of baptism, which is about to happen, Lord willing, of course, next service. So I want to focus our attention on that. But first, the story, just a little bit about it. This is 20 years later that Jacob comes to meet Esau in the land. He fled Canaan 20 years ago and went to his uncle's house, Uncle Laban, because he had cheated Esau out of his birthright, tricking his father, deceiving his father. And so Esau swore at the time that I'm going to kill you for doing this. So he fled and stayed at his uncle's house for 20 years there. Now it's 20 years later, and he's coming, he's crossing the river Jabbok, and Esau knows about this, he hears about this. And so Jacob is fearful, like, because Esau is coming with 400 men. And so he gets some kind of see him in the distance, and that is going to trouble. So what he does, he decides to send his handmaidens first with some gifts for Esau, and then Leah and her children with some gifts, and, you know, kind of slow Esau's anger, slow it down a little bit, so that by the time he comes with Rachel and Joseph, maybe Esau is going to have a little bit of mercy. Well, it turns out that Esau is so happy to see his brother and to see how much he has prospered. Like, who were all these people, all these women and children with you? You left 20 years ago with nothing. Now you have all this cattle and goats and sheep, or, you know, herds. You know, and he's just so happy to see his brother. He, you know, hugs him and kisses him, and they weep together. What a relief, right? What a relief. So that's what's happening here. And then this question which Esau asks, you know, what is this? What about these women and these children? Who are they? And particularly the children, to which Jacob responds, "These are the children which God has graciously given thy servant." And so I want to focus on that now. Why is it said that way? And so the first point is that our children are a gift. Obviously, the children are a gift. And we read those Psalms responsively, right? Psalms 127, 28, clearly showing that children are a gift. Not only a gift, but they're a gracious gift. Why call it a gracious, like he says that these are the children that God has graciously given your servant. What is that about? And then finally, because they are a gift and because they are a gracious gift from God to us, we have an obligation. A tremendous, a solemn, a serious obligation. So those are the points, and then the conclusion will be to pray. Pray for our children. So I want to begin by talking about children that are a gift, that could be considered a gift. Now Jacob, at this time, he had 12 children over the course of 13 years. So he had 11 sons and one daughter. And that makes Reuben, his eldest son, about 12 years old at the time he meets Esau. And so God had and given Jacob these many children. Is quite obvious from the Genesis account. We read, for example, in Genesis 29:31, that the Lord opened the womb of Leah when he saw that Leah was despised and gave Leah a fifth child. Then in Genesis 30:22, we learn that God remembered Rachel, because she had been barren, and remembered her and her prayer. And God gave Rachel a man-child, who turned out to be a great leader in Israel, named Joseph. And so God had given these children to Jacob, and especially to Leah and to Rachel, as a result of prayer. Leah cried out to the Lord, Rachel cried out to the Lord, and both were answered in prayer. And they made up the 12 children of 11 sons, made up the nation of Israel. So this is a great gift that God gave to Jacob. And we should consider as well, all married couples should consider that children are a gift from God. And therefore, that God's in charge of whether you have children, one, two, more than that, or not, and when you shall have them. I know that for our little minds and of our egos, that conflicts. We think, no, it's up to the person. We are responsible for having certain number of children and when we're going to have them. Not quite accurate according to the scripture. God gives children as a gift to his people. He determines how many. He determines when, in spite of what we may think. And so that needs to be very clear in all our minds, that all children come from the hand of God. And not because we willed it, or because we decided what is best for our lives, which is the prevailing view, I think, among many people, including many Christians. We just don't think about the sovereignty of God in all matters, especially in a matter such as this, as precious as this, as special as this is. God's in control. Not you, not me. God. And so this brings up a question. An important question. How many children should a couple have? When should they have them? Right? Pretty straightforward question. How many children does the Bible tell couples they should have? And when they should have them? Do you find in the Bible anywhere this legislation? I challenge you to search the scriptures to find the legislation that legislates that you are to have as many children as you have, as you possibly can, even if it kills you. Where is that in the scripture? Or, where is it in the scripture? You're to have as many children as you can, even if it doesn't kill you. You should have as many. Where does it say that? I know that people use some things like the quiver should be filled, quiver is five, and all that stuff. But that's not saying that everyone should have five kids. Even if it kills them. Even if you can't. Even if it closes your womb after one. You know, that. Come on. There's nowhere in the Bible it says. However, there's principle. The Bible helps us. And so, one principle that arises from our text and from the Psalms that we heard, in Psalms 127, 128, for example, is that we ought to consider children a blessing. And under ordinary circumstances, couples certainly should consider their children a gift. A gift from God. That's clear. From the text, the children which God has graciously given me. God has given me this child or these many children. For a purpose. So that's the first principle. That they are to be considered gifts. Gifts from God. The second thing that comes to mind is when we are seeking children or wanting them, we are to always consider that to be a selfless desire. We are never to think of children or having of children or not having children in a selfish way. Always be selfless. How best to serve God. Not selfish, that this is going to be a burden, that this is going to cost me too much money, that this is going to fill up, I have to move and live. So that's that. Not to be selfish, but selfless. Because they're gifts from God. And we're not to consider that a child is going to be a burden. And all the time we must, the third thing that comes to mind is that all the time we must humbly accept what God does give us. So sometimes we want to have more children. Some women want to have more. Some couples want to have more and they can't. They try and they can't. At other times, they're not really planning to have a child and all of a sudden they do. You know, that happens. We are to always be humbled by this. Never be upset, upset at God, or upset at our husband, or the wife, or whatever. But we are to humbly accept, because again, this child is from God to you, as a couple. And so we are to be humbled by that. So those three things we emerge from the scripture, clearly emerge from the principle that that we are always to consider a child a blessing. And under normal circumstances, like Leah, like Rachel, we are to pray to have a child. And the second is that we are always to act in a selfless manner towards this. Never in a selfish manner when we're making a decision to have a child. It's always to be selfless. I'm giving of myself. And I'm willing to give of myself.
that attitude, and also the attitude if we do, if the Lord closes the womb, or if he opens it surprisingly, we ought to be humble to receive in great humility this gift. Simple principles. It doesn't tell us how many we should have, when we should have them, and all that. That is God. That is determined by God. If you have these principles in place in your heart and in your mind, it'll work out very well. Now, he says here that children are a gift from God. Why is it worded that children are from God? They're his gift. It's because we have a relationship with God. He is our friend. There is an intimacy between us and God. Our Savior told us that, he told his disciples that, look, I no longer call you just merely servants. I call you my friends because I'm revealing my will to you. My whole will, the whole will of God that you need to know and prosper in. So that God has a covenant relationship with us. And because he has a covenant relationship, a relationship of love and friendship with us, he's given his friend, his friends, his children. He's given his children children. He's given his friends, whom he loves, a gift, a blessing, not a cursing, not a burden, but a blessing. And so he wants his spirit, his people who are atoned for their sins. Their sins have been atoned by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they had the spirit within them to sanctify them, to have this attitude that God is their friend, that he loves you, and he is giving you something as somebody who loves you, a wonderful thing. See how we're supposed to think about this? It's so rich when we think of it that way. And furthermore, that God has expanded this gift to include us. Before, it was exclusively the nation Israel, pretty much exclusive. There were others that came into Israel, no doubt. But they had to come into Israel, become Israelites, become part of the system. And that was mainly the Old Testament economy. But God has expanded his friendship to include the nations, to include us in that expansion. And so he blesses us also. He calls... He says that I am the covenant God to you and to your seed after you. I am a God to you, Abraham, and to your child after you. And that child was Isaac, and that child was Jacob. But now he says in Galatians, for example, that all of us who have the same faith as Abraham are also his sons and daughters, are also his children. So you can see how that relationship, that covenant relationship, that covenant promise that I will be a God to you and to your seed after you, to your children, expands now to conclude us. That I am a God to you. Because all of us who believe as Abraham believed, looking ahead to Christ, we look a little behind to Christ, all of us are the seed of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. So these promises are to us. Now, he calls it a gracious gift. Not just a gift, but a gracious gift. Now what is that about? Well, again, grace means favor. And in the context of the Bible, grace towards us always means favor towards those who are unfavorable, that who don't deserve it. God is gracious to us, just like Esau was gracious to his brother Jacob. Jacob didn't deserve Esau's favor. I have found grace in your sight, right? Jacob is just overwhelmed by that. I don't deserve it, but you have been gracious to me. Likewise, we don't deserve it. God doesn't say that you deserve to have grace, to be given grace, but you're given it. And so that's why it's called a gracious, that these children which God has graciously given, a gracious gift, because I don't deserve a child, no less. I had three. You know, my wife and I had three. Some have five, some have one, but none of us deserve anything. We don't deserve a child. None of us deserve a child, no less more than one. So God is gracious to us. And this is, again, it's a covenant blessing, because God is in a relationship with us, a covenant. He's made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now us through faith in Jesus Christ. And that covenant, out of that covenant comes this gracious blessing, this grace. So children are a gift of grace. That's what children are to the covenant family of God. They're a covenant gift of grace. See, this is completely alien to the world, and even the mentality of certain Christians, where it's some, you know, like they're figuring out numbers, and they have this mentality that this child might be a burden, so I don't really want it, you know. That's not how we should think about it. You know, we're too infected with this world and the godless community. We can't help ourselves. We can't help thinking like this. But it's not. It's alien to the Scripture. These are covenant gifts. God gives His covenant people a covenant gift of grace, a child. And that should be the mentality that we keep in mind. Now, I want to talk about children being a gracious gift from God in three ways. Why should children be considered a gracious gift, a gift of grace by us? And there's three reasons that I have come up with, not just I, but through reading and looking at articles and looking at the scriptures themselves, checking it out. And the first is, of course, it comes from Acts 20, verse 35, that we learn that it's always more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how does that apply to the children? Well, because a person learns, parents learn very quickly that they have to give of themselves. They have to become much more selfless than before in order to raise this child well, So it's a blessing to have a child. It's a gracious blessing of God to have a child, because He's given us the opportunity, because He's teaching us that it's better to give than receive. And you're going to have to give yourself. You're going to have to give of yourselves to your child. And so that's an opportunity for that. The second reason why having a child or having multiple children is a gracious gift of God and a blessing, it comes from Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5, which we responsively heard a little while ago, where God makes it clear, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, what's that have to do with us? We know the culture then at the time, and they stood at the gate, and the sons would protect the parents, particularly the father in his old age, who's supposed to be a mighty warrior. But after a while, you know, you get a little weaker when you get older, right? And the children are there to help. See? And so they are considered to be gracious gifts of God to the family because, you see, your children are going to help you. Your children are going to honor their parents, especially in their old age. If the parent gets sick, if the parent needs help, the child is going to be there to help you and strengthen you, not just economically or, you know, in a material way, but in a psychological way as well. They're going to stand up for you. They're going to defend you. They're going to take your side, if it's at all possible to take your side. And they're going to be an encouragement to you when you get older. If they're good sons and daughters, and if you have been a good father or and mother, they are going to take up your cause. And so it's a blessing, it's a gracious blessing from God, because, you know, children are going to honor you. Honor your father and mother, and that's what they're going to do, especially when people come against you. And in your old age, and you can't defend yourself as mightily as well as you once did when you were young. Your children are going to take up the cause. So that's the second reason why children ought to be considered a gracious gift, a gracious blessing from God. And the third reason why children ought to be considered is because they're God's. Because they're covenant children. Because God has made a promise that I am going to be a God to you and to your seed. That I am raising you up and I'm also raising your son and your daughter with you. That this is a covenant blessing. This is not just a blessing, some random blessing or some thing that you lucked out on or something. This is actually my honoring, my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, who are the sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, according to faith, children that are going to also be reared up to the glory and praise of God. And so I am giving you elect sons and daughters because you're my elect sons and daughters. You know, he saves in the line of generations. He's a family guy, God is, if I may speak that way. He's a family God. And so these are his children. He's given to his children. He's giving his young little babies to those older adults. Now, Jacob did not deserve 11 sons and one daughter. Why? Well, Jacob was a deceiver. He deceived his father. He lied to his father in order to get the firstborn blessing. And then he ran away. So he's kind of weak and cowardly, and he is a deceiver. Also, he's a polygamist. You know, he lusted. He was married to Leah, and he lusted with a great lust in his heart for Rachel. So he's a despicable polygamist, a lustful man. So he didn't deserve God's gracious gifts of children. But, you know, all of us are this way, right? We're all despicable in God's sight. We're all sinners. We may not sin exactly the same way, but we're all despicable. We're all disgusting as far as sin goes in God's sight. And so none of us deserve a gracious gift from God. We certainly don't deserve salvation. We certainly don't deserve people who are going to be saved or are saved from the womb to rear up. None of us do. We're all weak. We're all sinners. And none of us deserves a single gift or blessing from God. But God does do it. He did it for Jacob, and he does it for us as well. And so because of this being a gift from God, and because of children being a gracious gift, a covenant gift, a gift of grace from God, we have a solemn obligation, and that is to train them up, to rear them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We need to teach them the covenant. We need to teach them about the covenant God. We need to teach them about the mediator of that covenant, who is Jesus Christ, and what forgiveness is, and repentance is, and justification and sacrifice. We need to catechize them. We need to teach them as much as we can about the covenant God, about the mediator of the covenant, which is Jesus Christ, as we possibly can. This is our solemn obligation to be used of God in the lives of His sons and daughters that He's given to us. To be used of God as a means of grace to the children. And that's not only incumbent an obligation upon the parents, it's also an obligation upon the church. Because the church, you see, is bringing them into membership through the sign of baptism, the covenant sign. It's the covenant sign of baptism, right? And He's bringing these children into His church now, officially, as covenant children. And therefore, the church has a responsibility to rear them up. So you need to preach sermons like this, and like I'm going to next service, to speak to the people that are bringing up their child into the community of the saints here at Calvary Church, officially becoming a member of this church, that they have a solemn responsibility. We all do have a solemn responsibility to rear and train these children, to pray for these children, to teach these children in Sunday school, and catechize these children in the faith. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of churches don't. Most churches don't catechize children today. What does catechize mean? It means to train them. That's what catechizing means, to train children about the covenant God, about the covenant mediator, Jesus Christ, about all the benefits of the covenant, the promises of God. That's what it means. And many churches think catechize is a dirty word. Train these children up this way. And that's what we have a responsibility to do. These are gifts from God, gracious gifts of God. And that's a solemn duty to do this. And parents that don't do this, that don't take this seriously, and churches that don't take this seriously, are woefully lacking. They are shirking a wonderful responsibility. But we don't believe that. We don't do that. And so, therefore, brothers and sisters, I ask you to pray. To pray, continue to pray for Calvary Church, that we remain faithful to this. To pray for those parents, the Fedors, you know who they are, and little Emma Lynn, and even the rest of their children. To pray for them that they would honor their responsibility obligation, and we too would honor the solemn obligation that we have to train them up and to pray for them as well. So all that comes from the Psalms you responsively heard, read and heard, and this verse that the children which God has graciously given to His servant. That's our mindset. The mindset we should have in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful to You. Glory be to our God, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has revealed You to us through the power of His presence in us, the Holy Spirit, and has given us the mind of Christ in this matter. In this matter of children and rearing them up and raising them in the faith and baptizing them according to the sign that You have given Your church for that. And we are thankful that You have given us the mind of Christ in this matter. We pray in His name these things. Amen.